Hello, everyone, and welcome to Be in the Know, a podcast dedicated to sharing the research of professors at ESSEC Business School. Today, I'm chatting with Stefan Groschel. He is a professor in management who recently published a paper on the organization and logistics behind the Olympics and Paralympics. So thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Julia. I'm looking very much forward to talking to you about this research, in particular when with the Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's something that we're all starting to think about more and more. But I know when I at least think of the Olympics and Paralympics, I tend to think more about the events themselves, like the opening and closing ceremonies, my favorite events, cheering on my country. And I don't think so much about what goes into the planning behind it. So I'm interested in learning more about that. And I'm wondering what made you research this subject?
Well, let me go a little bit back on that, because it wasn't something that I targeted it, but I was always interested in the classroom and beyond to use sports as an analogy, applying it to business and management, using cases to work with students on some of those aspects on sport, on leadership. And then at some point, a couple of years ago, I was on a visiting professorship with FGV in São Paulo in Brazil. And I had a chance there to meet Ricardo Leysa Gonçalves, who's really the key person behind the bidding and organizing process of Rio 2016. And we had numerous discussions, and it really became clear afterwards for me, when I did a little bit more research, that there was very little written about the insights of organizing such a mega sporting event. And there was also nothing on project management. So it was really something I got more and more interested in, and I invited him to talk to me in a more formal way, in an interview set up about his insights on organizing such an event. Two things that really hit me was the complexity and the uncertainty of those events. You mentioned earlier that your key interest is those 2 weeks of the Olympics and the 2 weeks of the Paralympics. But when we look at the complexity of that event, the games include have been included 33 sports in the Summer Olympic Games and 22 sports in the Summer Paralympics. This means that you're dealing with already two governing bodies, the IOC and the International Paralympic Committee. And then, of course, you have all these federations with which the host country has to co-organize the games. So you're really looking at major stakeholders here. Just to give an example, in contrast, for a FIFA Soccer World Cup, the host country collaborates predominantly only with one governing body, and that is the FIFA. In terms of uncertainty, you need to consider that basically those 2 weeks when the games are on, this is really the easy part. The big part is the preparation and the bidding for the games. And together they were about, in the case of Brazil, 8 to 9 years. So you've got to imagine 8 to 9 years of preparation. You're really dealing with a great deal of uncertainty here. So those two key aspects, uncertainty and complexity of such a mega event, were really critical for me to investigate that further and to do some research on that.
So you've mentioned the amount of complexity and the uncertainty involved. And it's true that we don't necessarily think of the amount of years that goes into that planning. And that makes me wonder, what did you learn about the skills that are required to deal with that complexity and uncertainty to be able to manage such a massive undertaking?
Yeah, I mean, this was really, it became really clear that there were a number of key skills that Ricardo was emphasizing on. The first thing that for him was really critical in all of this was the prioritization of clear objectives. On a strategic level, there was a lot of the priorities were, and the general timetable were given or set by the IOC and the IPC. So they usually have a master plan that the organizers and Ricardo had to follow. But then on the other side, for him to successfully manage and motivate all these temporary teams, so there's this a real relatively new concept of temporary teams in here, where you put people together only for a certain amount of time, and continuously changing team members, and to navigate those teams for more than 7 years or 8 years through all these rapidly changing contexts and environments, is really required a strong focus and a real alignment of people. So for him, having real key objectives and an overall aim was absolutely necessary. And then, of course, continuously communicating this to all these stakeholders and members of these temporary teams. For Ricardo, in this case, was the first and most important objective to deliver the games. And again, that was something that he highlighted it on every occasion to all these different stakeholders. His second objective was to deliver that this delivery was not at all cost. So it could, you know, when you look at those two objectives, they're somewhat contradictive, but it really helped him to also create creativity amongst his members. To work with people in different ways. And that really was something for him that he highlighted here. A lot of the skills that he mentioned or competences were of a soft nature. So it was not necessarily always the technical aspects. It was focusing on strong interpersonal and relational aspects. For any mega sport event that includes international organization, governmental bodies at different levels, other actors from the public and private sectors, you really need a good understanding, appreciation of the operational and structural and reporting complexities. So for him, developing these interpersonal skills and collaborating and communicating with those stakeholders was absolutely essential. Again, one of the key challenges in that he had to face was, for example, he had no authority really, he had no power to push. Imagine you're dealing with the airport authorities, you're dealing with police forces, you're dealing with all sorts of different authorities over which he had no real power to motivate or to engage them. So it really came down to negotiations, persuasion, collaboration skills, communication skills, and again, also a lot of persistence and resilience. There were setbacks, there were challenges on a regular basis. Again, we're looking at 7 years. We're looking at, some of you might remember that the political turmoil that happened at the time with political leadership changes. A lot of these aspects really influenced also Ricardo's work. And it was a lot of times, standing up again and so resilience was really a key point here. Something that he admitted he learned the hard way was getting the planning and timing right. He admitted in many situations deadlines were not met. So thinking that you have 2 years or 3 years for planning certain aspects is a long time. In fact, it's not. And in all of this. Planning and timing was crucial, in particular with the master plan that was set up by the international bodies and all the setbacks that could happen. So for him, one of the most important aspects on a personal note was coping with time pressures and managing time successfully. Balancing between pragmatism and creativity, suppleness and firmness, all these aspects that often seem somewhat softy aspects were really critical to him. So that's really what it came down to for him to manage and push people through the organization and planning stages.
Yeah, I think that we're increasingly aware of the importance of those soft skills in many situations, in virtually any situation, and I can certainly see how they would be especially important for dealing with the particularities of the Olympics and Paralympics, which makes me wonder, with COVID-19, the Olympics and Paralympics are happening under very particular circumstances this year, and I'm wondering if you have any insight on how the competencies could be applied, how those skills could be applied in this kind of situation.
I think for me at this stage, adaptability and flexibility is absolutely crucial. In COVID times, when it comes to sanitary policies, travel restrictions, they all change very fast. So these are just add-ons to what happens at COVID-19. But for me, really, this adaptability to changing circumstances, situations. We see here, for example, other events currently taking place. It's the football European Championship. It's in Latin America, the Copa Americas. And you see how teams have cases of COVID. There needs to be a real reaction to those kind of situations from the organizers' point of view. So flexibility is absolutely critical, and adaptability, but also collaborating with the different federations, collaborating with policymakers and international bodies that haven't been on the agenda or would not be on the agenda on a normal basis, whether this might be the World Health Organization and other bodies that are really key in all of this COVID-19. So collaboration and communication skills with all those different stakeholders are really a must in these times of COVID-19.
Yeah, certainly. And do you think that there's any other competencies and strategies that are different this year, aside from collaborating with different international bodies? But do you think that there's any other lessons to be learned?
For the Olympics and Paralympics this year, I think more creativity is needed in terms of contingency plans, what ifs. And then again, we need to, at this stage, from what I understand, much of Japan is under state of emergency due to COVID-19. So again, within the country, a lot of the operations might have to be run differently from the organizers' point of view. So again, this really strong collaboration needs to take place here. Health and safety and sanitary issues are more important than ever when it comes to travel restrictions. Athletes who are tested positive. Another point that I learned from Brazil and that might be critical here in Japan is at some point Brazil had some the population that there were trends of people being opposed to the Olympics, and we see right now that there are polls in Japan that indicate the majority of the Japanese public would prefer that the games should be cancelled. So how do you deal with that kind of opposition? What kind of impact will that have on spectators, in particular considering that no fans are allowed from outside Japan? So this has an implication in terms of just the atmosphere in a stadium, but also in terms of the financing. What will this have an impact on sponsors, on the marketing side of the Olympics? So there's a lot to be considered. What about the athletes themselves? Will they hesitate to come? There's also this proximity to the 2022 Winter Olympics, which also might have some implications. All this is critical to think about, but of course also the delay is, has been extremely expensive. It was estimated that they're looking at around 2.7 billion. Some observers have talked about. There are the additional costs that come in from keeping staffers on the payroll for another year, maintaining empty venues. Also the aspect of events that have been already booked at some of those venues that were originally planned a year ago. So there's plenty of stuff out there that we can see requires a lot of adaptability, flexibility, creativity, and finding new solutions by the organizers, but also in collaboration with the different federations, international federations. And not only the IO, the IOC, but also or the from the Paralympics, but also all the the other federations that look in the different sports.
Yeah, it's a really interesting perspective. It gives us a bit of a behind the scenes look at the Olympics. And while the games are going to look a bit different this year, we can see how the skills and managerial takeaways that Lizer Goncalves mentioned are still applicable here and maybe more useful than ever to deal with the even greater uncertainty and complexity of this year's Olympics and Paralympics.
I think you can also add just to the COVID-19 situation itself. We can look at it here, this looks at mega sporting events, but it also looks at project management. And I think even for politicians or for what we've seen in how countries have dealt with some of those situations, a lot of those skills can be applied: adaptability, flexibility, collaboration, communication, stakeholders, being involved. All of this really has shown to be critical, not only to run a mega sporting event, but to deal with major disruptive events like COVID-19.
Yeah, certainly. It's definitely a skill set that all managers could make use of and that's transferable to situations other than the Olympics and Paralympics. So thank you so much for joining us today for an insightful chat about these managerial lessons and about the organization and logistics of the Olympics and Paralympics.
Thank you for having me, and looking forward to see what happens at the Olympics in Tokyo, and then of course how France is dealing with the Olympics in 2024.
Yes, lots to look forward to. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.